Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows the good thing about an old truck is you can treat it like an old truck, meaning however you want. Because the paint job looks best covered in mud. Dents build character, and unpaved roads are unscientifically proven to be 70% more fun. And with over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep that thing running longer, stronger. Because it's not old, it's broken in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Everybody back to BDSR Network along with Fox Sports Radio presents the Stolen Sports right here on Fox Sports Radio 1340AM.com. People, it is I, your host, Mike Pierman Sr. People, and it is a pleasure to be with you guys the week after Thanksgiving. It has been a long time since we've been here. It feels like I am a little bit under the weather, so I am not in the studio today. I am at home. I got my niece in front of me up here watching Salem on the TV, on the Netflix. Got 2.5 stars, but I'm about 10 episodes, and I give it about 3.5 stars at least. But that's enough about me. First, the particulars. 347-637-3859 is the number to call in. And people, we have a show for you today. As you hear my niece in the background, she ain't spoke a word all day until I went on air, but it's okay. She has a cracker in her hand. Listen, guys, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, I wear it this way. Today, we will talk about the best and worst of the weekend. Also, NFL talk. Is Gronkowski done? Is Tom Brady phasing himself out of the NFL? Is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers really a playoff team? And did I tell y'all this or did I tell y'all that? That the Dallas Cowboys was the best team in the NFL. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, Kirk Cousins may be franchise tagged again. Now I'll ask you the question. If I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm not exactly mad about being franchised. I think he got $20 million this year. It's damn near $27 next year. Then they get franchised again, it's $36 million a year. I think he should be okay with that. Also, this is a big debate with everybody and anybody who loves Thanksgiving. And since we just had Thanksgiving, I want to ask you guys a question. Pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie? Is there a difference? Which one you choose? If one had to go, who would it be? Also, was Ohio State versus Michigan the best college football game of the weekend? Was Charlie Strong giving a true opportunity at Texas? The Philadelphia Eagles play today on Monday Night Football and also WWE Monday Night Raw. And most importantly, we got the crossover event, the Fortnite crossover event, Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends Tomorrow all kicks off tonight. But I cannot believe I'm talking as well as I don't feel this well. Let me bring in my crew. He is the CFO of the BDSR Network, and he is the CEO of the New Twist Show. You can text New Twist Radio 24/7. What's going on, Jake Chris?
What's going on, Mike, man? Happy week after Thanksgiving. All right. Breathe in, breathe out. I just woke up, actually. I ate a lot on Thanksgiving, and I just woke up like 20 minutes ago, so I have no idea what happened over the weekend, I had a dream about this great football game between Michigan and Ohio State. I had all these dreams I had. It was crazy. The Redskins and Cowboys playing, and Minnesota and Sammy Sleeves messing up, and then Pittsburgh and the Colts had like a boring game, and it was just this crazy dream. It seems so real, though. But what's going on, man? How was Thanksgiving for you, man?
Thanksgiving for me was okay. Like I said, the game of the day was the Dallas Cowboys versus Washington Redskins. On a side note, my wife, we cooked a small meal this year for once. It's like every time you try to cook small, you still cook big for some reason. You know what I mean? So, but by Saturday, I was tired of leftovers. You know, there's only but so much turkey, cranberry sauce and stuff and the macaroni and cheese you can have before you start going to the bathroom frequently. So that's just all I could take. I couldn't take no more. But also, welcome to the program. We know he cooked on Thanksgiving and probably cooking right now. What's going on, Mike? That's A.B. Richmond on the Twitter.
Well, my brother from another mother, you are not lying, and that is just like no other. I did cook again because I'm just that guy. The guy who knows how to do everything from bacon to deep fries. So everyone liked the mac and cheese last Thursday. So you know your boy handled his business. I got some. Can't wait to talk about that pie because you know I'm a bacon kind of guy. So you know, talk about those pies firsthand. You know, but otherwise than that, fantastic football weekend. A lot of questions left to be answered. People mad. People getting blown out. Teams losing, they ain't supposed to be losing in college football. The teams that aren't known for football, it was great. I love this weekend, brother. And I'm glad your voice is still up to par. You know what? You're going to take us that far. Let's go.
Let's go take us that far. Well, excuse me for that. I'm sorry. I told you. 347-637-3859 is the number two call in. Also, make sure you go follow us on the Twitter at Soul and Sports, S-O-U-L, capital N-F-P-O-R-T-S, that's sports, in case you couldn't spell it. Also, follow me and like my Facebook page at Michael Pierman Singer on the Facebook. And follow me to give you the identification at 1340 AM Fox Sports. All right, back to your regularly scheduled program. I think this might be Wally, but I ain't sure if this is Wally or Hugo because I'm not in the regular studio. Wally! Or is this Hugo?
Yeah, what's up? No, it's you guys, Wally. It is. It's the one from the. It's from the 301-240-202 area code in the DMV. What's good?
Were you happy to see Drew Hill last night without Woody on the Soul Train Music Awards?
Actually, man, I thought he did a great job, and I didn't really watch it. I saw that performance, and I thought he did a good job. I was surprised he did that well. Man, he did moonwalk and everything. I was like, dang, dude. You know what I mean? Usually, you know, older acts can't do that. Yeah. Usually older acts can't do that. Mm-hmm.
Jazz looks fat as hell, though. You see, he went out there for that dance and tell me what you want part. And he couldn't do that.
Oh, not even thinking. I didn't even see. It's crazy because I wanted to watch most of it because, you know, I heard that my man Mace is on the show. You know, Social media is a beast. I say, oh, Mace is on. I was like, what? Wait a minute. My boy Mace on here? What? The preacher back? Then it was like, oh, now I missed that too, so. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. It sounded like a good show, though.
I saw that Bad Boy tour. I saw that Bad Boy tour. He ain't been a pastor in a minute.
I know, right? I do want to say this though. I was staring at Erykah Badu. She is like honestly one of the most naturally beautiful ladies ever I've seen in my life. Like her, something about her is like is in a whole different beast.
Before I get kicked off the internet, me and my wife are just debating that. And we have this saying, right? Uh-huh. Which, you know, we have a saying like, okay, I wouldn't kick that person out of bed or, you know, that person. I would kick Erykah Badu out of bed.
You what?
I'm not talking about the sin Erykah Badu.
Yeah.
This Badu looks very plump. And I ain't talking about plump just in the rear end part, okay? She looks kind of. Not to mention, I think she's a witch.
Thick as hell challenge. That's all I got to say. Best of the weekend already. I'm putting it out there. Thick as hell challenge. That was my best.
I think she's a witch, man. I'm telling you. But the thing about Erykah Badu is that at least if you sleep with her, you get good music. If you sleep with a Kardashian, you end up crazy. That's the difference between her coochie and the Kardashian's coochie.
Yeah,
I can't
say
coochie
in the
radio, right? Is that a natural word? Is coochie a good oochie coochie? Yeah,
la la la.
Bad
word.
Yeah, you say that. No, I mean, MC Brain had a song, Oochie Coochie. That was on the radio, so we could. 347-3859. We got to go right here and start right here because I said it. Y'all disagreed. I hate saying it. Thanksgiving, they played. And it was proven, at least to me, even more, the Dallas Cowboys are the best team in the National Football League. They come on Thanksgiving Day. They hold off the resurgence from the Washington Redskins. And they continue to be on top of the best division in football, which I think is very funny. Nickel in the meter, guys. Isn't it funny how just 2 years ago, this is the worst division in football? Now, even all the media is trying to say now the NFC East is back. We've been saying that since last year, that it was a resurgence that was coming around. But we're just saying we don't know nothing. Okay, back to regular schedule program. What did you get out of that game and that win and that loss for the Cowboys and the Washington Redskins, Jay Chris, on Thursday?
Quite honestly, this is what I got. I got that the Cowboys are a team of – They're a young team with veteran savvy, and what I mean by that is a young team loses a lot of the games that they have won, and they don't hold on to the lead or they don't come back from losing the lead or whatever the case may be. They're a young team with veteran savvy, and it pains me to even give them props. I'm going to throw some shade in there again like I did last time later on, but. You know, the funny thing is that the Cowboys are I'm still not ready to call them the best team in the NFL, but they are the best team in the NFL during a time where they're a team like, okay, remember when Seattle was the best team in the league and their defense would just dominate Pittsburgh, I'm sorry, New England was the best team in the league and their offense somehow would dominate. I'm still not sure what Dallas dominates where they dominate. I'm not sure, but I know they have a good up. They can score.
Offensively, when you talk about teams where they dominate, let's be real. We're talking about the great.
They dominate running the ball.
The only thing is I'm not scared
of their offense. The offense doesn't strike fear. You understand what I'm saying? There's offenses that the greatest show on turf struck fear in defense, right? But this offense is they're good, they're very good, but I don't see them as great just yet. And maybe I'm trying not to be a hater here. I just don't see them as great. I think Zeke is great. I think he's great. I think Dak is very, very good. But outside of that, I'm just not sure. I'm not sold. I think that they have a second receiver. I think they could be a dominant offense for a very long time if they get a receiver, a really good receiver to complement that, a la Alvin Harper and Michael Irvin in the 90s.
Well, this is where you say not dominant. They run the – this is where I think – and you're entitled to that, but I believe it comes from a place of it being the Cowboys, okay, because I look at the team, and they're so dominant on offense because – they run the ball, they run the ball, they run the ball. The second you got this team, you believe stops. That offensive line holds up well enough, and this quarterback gets the ball to every receiver in the right spot at the right time. The receivers all make the catches at the right time. Beasley and Terrence are great complement receivers to Dez Bryant, who is overlooked completely in this offense now because of these two rookies. Okay, he is still a dominant receiver in the league, given the opportunity to. And when he gets the chances, he comes through on those things. I looked at that game Thursday, and I kept saying every time the Washington Redskins had them stop, third down would come. Maybe third and long, right? Third and manageable. Excuse me. That offensive line would hold up well enough for Rain to make the right decision. And I think when I look at dominant offenses over the years, that's one there. Wally, I'm going to go to you next on that because that was your team you watched, and I know you grew up like most of us here, outside of, you know, King Vaughn, Jr., 720 on Twitter, heading to Dallas Cowboys. So I know you will never make that, you know, that distinction of them being the best. But what did you see from this game? Jay Chris said there's nothing to be afraid of with this offense. I disagree. I think they're dominant on offense and defense. Yes, they have cracked.
I think offense, they have a great running game. I mean, that's their thing. The passing game, they put themselves in third and manageable a lot, so it's not like you're going against the Saints passing attack. But I think that running game makes them more effective because, again, I mean, they're in third and manageable. We saw a lot. You know, Zeke had 97 yards on 20 carries. So, offensively speaking, their run game runs their whole ship. And it's a high power running game. It's not a minor running game. It's a high power one.
I'm sorry, as I said at the top of the hour, I am very sick. You guys hear me coughing when I'm trying to be my normal self. There, I had to have myself and get you guys to hear me blow my nose on air.
I accidentally muted myself too. I was talking.
Okay. I didn't hear it.
But. See, the one thing is, and I can't disagree with what you said, Mike. I mean, the fact that they are winning games, the fact that they lost something, and nobody has been able to beat them since, just it screams of a dominant team. But I don't know if I'm with a blowout. I feel like they're there, but it's not there yet. Okay, I feel like a team that can score with them, probably them. I think like Seattle
team. So you think because they are not a complete, they're not the greatest special team. They're not the greatest on defense. The offense helps the defense a lot. The defense does play well in spot. You're thinking like Stephen A. Let's just be real. And like most of us, including myself, just waiting for the shoe to drop because it is Dallas, and over the last 20 years, they have been a team that's come up short somewhere and screwed up somewhere down the line. Micah, jump in there real fast. Your thoughts on that Thanksgiving game?
Well, my thoughts on that Thanksgiving game were simply it didn't rest from Dallas because, I that was one of those games that I called there that I reluctantly said that Dallas was going to win in the close game. And I knew it was going to be down to two things about Dallas Cowboys that is separating them from everybody else, and that's their offensive line, which has been separating them from a lot of teams from the last three, four seasons, and Ezekiel Elliott. That running game has been able to get Dak Prescott out of some tight spots. It has been able to resurge their offense and reinvigorate their offense. And to be quite honest, I would have to disagree with anybody right now, and that's expert pundit who's been doing it for 45 years to us on this show who's been doing it for almost 10. I would have to disagree with anybody who suggests that Dallas Cowboys is not the best team in football right now. What else do they have to do to show you that they are not necessarily a fully complete team, I'm not saying they're a super team, but they're a team to be reckoned with. The team, they have shown almost every scenario that you can ask for somebody to show their grit, show their determination, show that they can hold on, show that they can play well in certain spots, they have done. They came up with big plays and big moments. They came with big stops and big moments, even though their defense is still suspect. Dak plays virtually mistake-free football. And Ezekiel Elliott has gotten better every game this season. I feel like I'm going to vomit again. But you know, outside of the secondary and some spots in the defense, where is really their weakness to be destroyed by another team when they show that they can come back on a team that puts them against the wall?
I'm gonna let you get in that one, Jay Chris, because. King Vaughn Jr., you told us not to mention, and I guess we go through our moments where we mention him, when we don't mention him on the program so he can't call in. He says, you're picking all the haterade. That's why your microphone was messing up earlier. You didn't know that, but we knew that listening to you. You want to rebuttal that and Micah's response about where the hole's at? I don't mean like, you know,
Tawika or Tawanda.
Well,
when I say hoes,
I just my mic is gonna be messed up. I can tell.
Okay.
I can tell my mic is messed up. Here's the thing. Don't talk about my voice.
What? We can't hear you. Hola, ¿cómo está usted?
Can you hear me now?
I hear you a little bit.
Can you hear me now?
I can't hear you now. Is he talking? All right, Jay Chris. Yep, Jay Chris dropped. Take it over from me right there on that one, if you will, Wally. I'm with Mike on this one. I don't see where people won't give the Dallas Cowboys the credit. And again, this isn't something that I like to do or want to do. You know what I mean? It's the truth. As of right now, through the first 12 games of the season, not only do they have the best record in football, like Micah just spoke of, they have done it in every facet. They have beaten you up. I've seen games where they couldn't run the ball and Rain made sure they won the game. Where are the holes that Jay Chris is speaking of?
I mean, defensively, they're not a strong team. Offensive line, they win. That you can't deny it. I feel like I'm talking about the Cowboys way too much. But yeah.
Well, your team plays them on Thursday, so I mean.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about. I'm talking about the Cowboys. I'm not even talking about the Reds. I'm talking about the Cowboys. the offensive line wins, and Zeke has played well. I can't. That's the truth. And Dak has played good football, so I can't take anything away from him. And honestly, Jason Garrett has done a good job coaching the team. He doesn't get enough credit. If you look at it, I mean, I saw a stat with his record. I think he's like he's well over 500 as a Dallas Cowboys head coach. I mean, again, he deserves some credit within this, how this whole ship is working. And they're playing football like, to be honest with you, the Dallas Cowboys played back in the early 90s.
And that's what makes me want to vomit too. I know what you meant. But I'm gonna go back to the one thing that Jay Chris mentioned. He did mention the Seattle Seahawks, and Jay Chris gets back in there, and he talked about that team and him as he was comparing dominant teams. They were not dominant on offense. They were a great team on defense, dominant, one of the historically best teams defensively. But offensively, it's where you thought you could beat the Seattle Seahawks. And I think it's the complete opposite, if you will, so to speak, with the Dallas Cowboys. Jay Chris, you're back in.
Yes, I'm here. First of all, I want to have a message for Vaughn. maybe I am drinking the Haterade. Maybe I am. But don't talk about my mic connection if we can't hear your voice whatsoever. That's what I'm going to say about that. That's the only way I'm going to touch that. You want to address my mic situation, you call in and you let me know.
My mic sounds nice.
Check one. See, here's the thing. The Cowboys are, and if I remember correctly, I think I picked the Cowboys to win the division preseason. Or the Redskins. I can't remember.
You said Denver. I mean, you said Dallas. I said the Redskins.
Here's the thing. Everything has fallen into place for a team that we picked to win the East to win the East. And just looking at the schedule, right, they lost to the Giants. But then, really, when you look at it, the way things have turned out, like if you look at the schedule preseason or before the season started, you think it's not really that tough to schedule, but they have a couple tests in there, right? We thought Green Bay would be a test. We thought Pittsburgh would be a test. And
Pittsburgh gave them a shot.
And then we thought the Skins would be a test. The Skins played them well in two games, okay? The Eagles took them to overtime, if I'm correct. It was an overtime game, right?
Yeah.
The Bengals, we thought, you know, the Bengals were going to be tough. The Bengals stink now. They stink out loud.
Yeah.
Okay? The Steelers gave them a run. Steelers, we don't know what they are, okay? Unfortunately, I'm going to say for Cowboys fans, and it's weird to say this, I don't know if we're really going to know what they are until maybe week 14 and week 16 when they play the Giants again in New York. or New Jersey, and then when they play the Lions, who are first place in the Central, which is very strange because I don't believe in the Lions either right now. I don't know how they're making it happen. I don't get it. So, you know, when we think of the best teams in the league outside of the Cowboys, because I'm going to put them in the conversation as best teams in the league,
uh-huh.
who are we thinking? Who are the best four or five teams in the league outside of the Dallas Cowboys?
I hate to say this, and I got to give all credit to Wally before anybody who's a nun who is a fan of them. Wally has been on this team for 2 years saying, look out for the Oakland Raiders and Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I'm sitting there publicly on radio, publicly on all our podcasts you can go catch on iTunes and Stitcher. So if you're not an Apple hater and you're an Android lover, we got it for both of y'all. iTunes and Stitcher. Been saying, and I'm apologizing. Hey, Wally, you were right, man. Them Oakland got dark Raiders for real. And they're fun to watch, along with the Patriots, who are, to me, completely banged up. We talk about them in a second when I talk about my NFL team. And then after those two, I guess, can you say Seattle not still that good because what happened with Tampa Bay? I don't know. So can I say four best teams? I can't say four. I give you those three. To me, after those three, it's a complete toss-up. And even on any given Sunday, the Patriots, because the way they're looking, they're getting by the hair on each chin as well. Michael, who you could think the best four teams of football? Because it's got to be Dallas. I got three. Dallas, Oakland, and New England. Other than that, the rest of them are all together.
Yeah, I would have to Dallas, Oakland, New England. That's about it. And see, here's the thing, though. But see, a lot of people are not going to give it to Oakland for the same reasons why Jay Chris said for the Dallas Cowboys. The main thing is that they're a young team. And so they got good coaching, got some good veteran, got a good offensive line. Their offensive line isn't as touted as the Cowboys' offensive line, but if you see some of the things they're doing, they're trying to beat up people in the front and in the trenches as well. And we know what their back end of their defense is. We know it stinks, but that front seven is doing some damage and keeping them in game. So and you just look at what they did with Carolina to keep that 3-point lead. But yeah, after that, it's really, really hard. And by the way, to your point earlier, Mike, the NFC East and the AFC West, barring division games and wins and losses in the division, have the best records. Have the best records against all competition outside of their division. So both of them are, I believe, at least 10 to 12 games above 500 when it comes to playing people outside their division. So both divisions are doing very well as far as playing outside competition. But after those three, it is a toss-up. It is a toss-up because really I would have to say after Oakland and Cowboys is a toss-up because, you know, New England's shown that they're a different team without Rob Gronkowski. And you know, and for as many people who want to – because, you know, me being a Colts fan, many people want to tell me that Tom Brady is better than Peyton Manning. I was like, okay, so where's his ability to win games without his primary wide receiver? Otherwise known as a tight end. He seems like a Derek Carr in the headlights when Gronk's not on the field. I'm confused.
I'm going to back in right there and tell you, Tom Brady has done more with less than your guy has ever had.
He had a dominant
receiver for 2 years and 2 years only.
That's all I'm saying.
But can I throw this in there, just to throw it in there, and see where Wally lands with this opinion? Can I say a team that I told you would be on the lookout? If I put the Giants and Miami in that fourth slot, well, Miami's on a six-game winning streak as well, but the Giants, whoo, they also on a six-game winning streak. Could you throw one of those teams in there as that fourth team? Or would you give to one of the other divisional leaders like the Falcons, the Lions, somewhere like that?
I would give – I like Kansas City. I think Kansas City is still a strong team.
I didn't say that one on purpose. I
like the defense. I like Kansas City. That's like what they can bring defensively. And, you know, again, they're a well-coached team. They're a well-coached team. And I'm a big fan of well-coached teams. The Giants, you know what? The Giants have been a good team. If you look at the schedule on this winning streak, it's a little – I want to see the competition step up because when they play certain competition away on the road, they're not that good of a team. But they – Their schedule has dictated
the
winning streak.
Aren't we all playing the same teams, though?
Yeah, at this juncture of the winning streak.
Okay.
You know, it's
the
like they're playing teams
very mediocre competition.
They've
You're
been
right.
playing teams that haven't,
right.
you know,
they even struggled with Cleveland.
Yeah. And even struggled with Cleveland team that for a while in that game. I'm wary to say the Giants at this point in time. Again, they're a good team. I think they're a good team. I'm not gonna say they're like they're a good team because Feliz, you have Eli Manning who won a couple Super Bowls. You got Odell Beckham Jr. who now looks like he's getting his stride back. Rick the Cruz is starting to play at a high level with them too, making plays for him. So I think right now they got weapons to say, you know what, they're a good team. We said this too before the season started that defensively they'd be an improved team, and they are improved. But I just don't want to put them in the mantle of some of the other teams that we're mentioning because I feel like in this winning streak, the schedule has been really favorable for them at this point in time. But I wouldn't put them – I mean, I think they're improving, I'll say that much, that they're getting better. And I think any team, when you're getting better as the season goes on, that makes you a dangerous team going into the postseason and if they can get to the postseason.
347-637-3859. If the playoffs were to start today, right, that's always the thing that goes around, right? You would have Dallas, Seattle as your two byes. You would have the wild card. Washington would be the sixth seed playing Detroit and then New York playing against Atlanta. I'm going to go with you on this one, Wally, and jump back in there with the Washington Redskins. Have they done enough and can they do enough after this loss? Or all they can do now is position themselves for a playoff run, this division is no longer theirs to even take with that loss?
I think it's all about the wild card. The Cowboys have, like, the two-game lead plus the tie. I think all they can do is focus on the wild card. The division's out of reach. But, I mean, they still play decent ball. They played against a good Cowboys team. I'm still on the onside kick. I'm not trying to talk about it. This onside kick thing really annoys me. But other than I'm still trying to get over it. But yeah, they've still been playing at a high level, and it's one thing about any team you want to compete with the best and make sure you're there to be able to win the game. So they've been doing that. Now there's certain things they got to iron out. This red zone situation, which has consistently been a problem for this team over this whole season. If they can get that situated, and even defensively scheming things a little bit better defensively and offensively, I think they'll be a better team. Now the big thing is Jordan Reed. Is hurt seriously, can barely move his arm up with that shoulder injury.
He came back in and saved my fantasy for the weekend.
I'll say this much. His performance showed sheer toughness because a lot of individuals had that ACL
strain
to be out for the game.
You can say the real words. Him coming back showed he had inner testicular fortitude.
Yeah,
and
he sure did.
He
man.
Took
sure.
another couple of hits to that AC.
Exactly.
That you're
and
about.
You can see the you see he was in and, pain, and you can see he was in pain. You can see it, and still played effectively. So, but I mean, I don't expect him to play next week against the Cardinals.
No,
I don't expect either. It. But you have Vernon. This is the blessing with signing of Vernon Davis. So again, like this team to me now, they lost one of their key weapons, but they still got a major weapon inside it. So I think this team does have the pieces, the way the schedule lines up to make a run to finish up strong. But you never know. You never know. You got teams who are fighting to make the postseason and who will play hard too at this point in time. So they can only take it one game at a time.
Now, I'm going to ask you this one first, and I'm going to go down the line, okay? And I'll come back to the Kirk Cousins franchise tag question after the break. Who has the best offense in the division? Because – I can't believe I'm even going to say this.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins gets better with every game.
And it
happened last year, too, where he started off kind of shaky. And the season gets longer, shall I say, he gets better. And
sure.
I'm sorry, he looked fantastic in that second half of that football game. But I'm afraid I think the best receiving core clearly goes to the New York Jets. I mean, Giants. If they get any running game, they're a troubling team. And that is only because of their efficiency. Well, I put them there. I'm taking my Eagles out because they don't score in the red zone. For me,
I'm going the Washington Redskins have the best offense in the NFC East. That's just me. What's your take?
I take them number one. I think they're more offense because what they can do, the way they move up and down the field, I don't think any offense can do it the way they do it. It's more prolific passing. I know that much. It's more prolific passing offense than any other offenses in the NFC East. But I do think, and I've always said this, I can't go against the grain of thought that I have, that if you win a game in the trenches and you have that more physical style, that's the team that took the Super Bowl and take that for what it is. I don't want to say their names, but you can take that for what it is.
Right. Boy, Cal. So, who you got best offense in football in the NFC East there, Jay Chris?
Best in the NFC East. It's hard to go against what you said with the Skins, because they have weapons. You know, with the receiver Garcon and Jackson and Reed and Kelly in the backfield, even though he didn't do much on Thursday. I'm back and forth with Dallas and Washington as the best offenses, because, you know, when you have a guy like Cole Beasley that can come underneath and just cause troubles for your linebackers trying to cover over them, it's tough. But I'm going to go with Dallas.
I'm going to make it easy for Jay, because the Redskins got Crowder. He does the same thing and catches bombs.
Yeah, you're right. Crowder does too. But I'm going to go with Dallas because I think Dallas's running attack is way better than anybody's attack in the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that running attack causes more problems than the Skins' passing attack. I think their running attack opens everything up for their passing game, and with Zeke, at any moment he can break something open. He can break a 60-yard run and take it to the house because he can't be caught. So I think Dallas probably has the best offense in the NFC East.
Micah?
Yeah, I have to keep on reminding myself not to vomit in my mouth when I have to compliment the Dallas Cowboys. It is what it is, but it's just, for all the reasons that Justin stated, it has to be those stinking Cowboys, because the one thing that they have that the Redskins don't have when it comes to having offense, in my opinion, is something that travels and something that you need in the playoffs, and that's the run game. The playoffs, pounding that rock, goes anywhere you want it to go. And you know, and playing at least solid enough defense. So when it comes to the offense, it has to be the people that can pound the rock the best. That's going to be Dallas. I feel icky. Help, please. This is weird.
347-637-3859. Let's go take a break. We're going to come right back after the break. We're going to talk franchise tag. Is it really so bad? We're going to talk Monday Night Raw. We're going to talk Charlie Strong getting strong, darn bad, effective, and much, much more. We'll be right back, y'all. Solo Sports right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, presented by the BDSR Network. We'll be right back, y'all.
liked us before, you're going to love us now.
We've brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Welcome back to the Stolen Sports right here on Fox Sports Radio, presented by BDSRI Network. Cousins has honestly, played himself into a long-term contract. But it seems that the team might still be reluctant to sign him to a long-term deal and just to be satisfied with giving him these franchise tags. I believe this year's roughly around 19, somewhere around that $20 million. If franchise again this year, it'd be $26 million, and franchise next year would be $32 million. I say F a long-term deal. Keep signing the franchise tag. What's your take on that, Wally?
I think Baby Brick would be better suited signing him to a long-term deal. But if they can't work a deal out, they're so that from what for all reports, they're all for giving him a franchise tag. If I'm Kirk Cousins, I ain't mad. I'm getting guaranteed money. Screw all that.
Guaranteed.
Give me 50 some odd mil for 2 years. About $58 million for 2 years. He's pretty much making. If I'm not mad, if I'm Kirk Cousins, and I'm getting that, I'm not mad. I just made $58 million guaranteed for 2 straight years. I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at the organization. I'm like, okay, it is what it is. He showed that he deserves a long-term deal. This is year two, and if he continues at this rate, he deserves it. But he shouldn't be mad if they decide to franchise him. But, yeah, he does deserve a long-term deal. I'm not going to take that away from him. He deserves that.
Now, I asked you this question as well. Can a person turn down a franchise tag? Like, I wonder that for my own personal reasons, which I bring up later in the program of why I'm asking that question.
Yeah, I believe that Josh Norman didn't. No, wait. They took it away from him. No, you can't
turn
it down.
They took it away
from
Josh Norman.
You cannot turn it.
Norman refused to sign it, and he took it away.
Yeah, you can't take it. You can't take it away. I mean, once you get the tag,
if you
want to
leave, you cannot leave. Is that what you're saying?
No, you cannot leave. You cannot.
That sucks.
Nah.
Cock and balls. All right. I'm not either. Like you just said, $56 million guaranteed million, forget a long-term deal. Tag or not to tag, that is the question.
I would tag him again. The team will probably lose more money over the year of the tag than they would and sign him to a long-term deal. But I would tag him again because, honestly, I mean, he's
I don't see what's
good.
The hesitation, though. Why not sign him? I don't
good,
get that
but
part.
He starts very slow. And if he doesn't come, if there's a season where he starts slow and doesn't pick it back up, then you're stuck with that long-term deal. So, you know, I would take somebody such as let's take Dak Prescott, for example. And he did not start slow and he's staying consistent throughout the season. That's the type of quarterback you hit your wagon to. You know, the Cars, of course you could say the Brady's, but I'm trying to go with the younger generation here. So you know, guys like that as right now I don't see Cousins as elite yet. Okay,
yeah.
And he probably would be better off betting on himself and going the LeBron route and maybe signing a 1-year deal, which nobody wants to do, but in football. But you know, it's not guaranteed anyway. So sign yourself a 1-year deal, get the most, or take the franchise tag, get the most money that you can, and step your game up. Because quite honestly, I mean, how much is he that much better than he was last year? I mean, they won the
yes.
last year.
Is he
that much better?
Yes, he is.
This is what I say about Kirk Cousins. It's not a knock on him. Usually the teams that are one hit would be bad teams because all bad teams need a quarterback, right?
Right.
This situation is ideal for him. It just is. Like we talked about the weapons they have. In another situation, would Kirk Cousins be this? Would he put up these kind of stats? And that's the thing.
That's any quarterback.
He has no weapon. Yeah, I agree. And I think Carson Wentz in this, and he still has been productive to help that team win games. Would Kirk Cousins help the team win games if he was on another team with no weapons? That's the question. If I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm staying in this situation. I'm not going to Cleveland. I don't think so. Because I've seen him struggle without Jordan Reed. I've seen him struggle without and so it's like. Without Jordan Reed, I mean, this is when last year, without Jordan Reed, he struggled. Without DeSean Jackson, he struggled to threaten defenses. It's not a knock on him. I still think he's played very good football with the talent, and he's been great. He's been on point. But I'm just saying,
so
on another team.
He can only play good with talent around him. I'm sorry. I don't. Yeah. Yeah. I think.
No, I mean that's the question, though. That's the question.
He's
the
Kobe.
Question is, can he looking for Andrew Luck? Andrew Luck's in a situation where he doesn't have that much around him, right? Other than T.Y. Hilton, but could he win? Can he win Indy? Can he win a place like that? That's the question that you want to know with Kirk Cousins, if you want to give him that kind of money, which like that long term deal. So I understand Jay Chris's point, but again, I think that he deserves it because he's shown you within this team that he's the guy to lead this team with what the pieces they have around him right now.
Has Kirk Cousins shown you that he can guarantee you be consistent for the next five? Is he that consistent guy? I can't believe that he is yet. Now, I kind of have to believe that Dak Prescott will be that consistent because he's been that good all year. We don't know if he's going to be consistent. That's always the gamble in sports. But I'd feel more confident in knowing and thinking that Dak Prescott is going to be consistently putting up numbers than Kirk Cousins is. That's just my opinion.
I just think that, you know, you got 2 years of Kirk Cousins. We know I was not the biggest Kirk Cousins fan at all. But I got 2 years of Kirk Cousins of playing good football. That's all I can go off of. I know a guy in 2012 who I thought was like the best thing since sliced bread. He had, his whole season was great. And look at him now. He's in Cleveland, and he's like about done. And he was the best thing ever. I call him the MVP and everything. And his career is like, he's cheating on his girl with
that,
some
but you know what
college
the
kid. You know what I'm saying?
That's, but the thing is Shanahan kind of ruined him. All right.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a what if situation though. What if Shanahan had allowed him to heal correctly?
But that was all. Yeah. Okay. So this is the thing about that, which you know it is what it is. I agree. I think Shanahan shouldn't listen to the kid. He shouldn't listen to the kid. At the same time, the kid was like very boisterous about getting his job back because he was threatened by somebody.
Scared.
I don't know why
he was threatened.
He was threatened by somebody. So
here's the problem: the kid don't know nothing yet. The kid knows nothing.
Yeah, true. I agree with you.
Shanahan has to be the veteran coach that he is in that situation.
Totally agree.
Look, I will confidently tell you, even if he's lying. Look, kid. This is your job. Okay.
Yeah.
I want you to heal correctly so you can have a long career. You have to put. Excuse me, that just kind of goes to show
that. Down cold before I make change. That's what
you
should have did.
That just goes to show you that RG3 was just not his guy from the gate. From the rip, that was not his guy.
Yeah.
And he didn't mind if he went out there and failed because that wasn't his guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that point. I'm just saying in 2012 that, you know, I didn't think that dude could fail for that way. You're right, though. The circumstances with that and that. You're right. The injury played a part to that, too. I'm not
his leg wrapped around Haloti Ngata, and then we ain't seen the same RG3.
I know.
Emmy Richmond, your take, to tag or not to tag? That is the question.
Well, you know, to properly ask that question, let's put it in context and perspective. There's only six teams after this season that will need a quarterback that caliber and level of Kirk Cousins, who we all agree is not necessarily a star-struck stunner, but he's above average and he can get the job done. His best situation, he needs to stay in Washington because he has everything that he needs to be able to be successful.
Well,
he's
going to have a choice. According to
that's
Washington,
true.
Have a choice.
But what I'm saying is that if I am the Washington Redskins front office, if I'm the Washington Redskins front office and I know there's only six teams in the NFL that needs a quarterback his caliber, I'm going to keep him because obviously some of the prospects are okay coming out of college right now. Some of them are fantastic, actually. Some of them are fantastic. But do you really want to do that on unproven commodities where you can go ahead and have someone who's proven to you that he can at least win games, he can get to the playoffs? You know, he hasn't proven he can get to the playoffs and win yet because, you know, they struggled a little bit. But that happens. That's a team thing. You know, individual accomplishments, you know, don't outweigh team performances. And so he has done what he needed to do to contribute to the overall goodness of the team. And there's many times where he struggled and he was a detriment. But at the same time, I think for at least if you're going to put it on him, after the franchise tag window is done, they need to have a long-term deal for him. I'm not tagging him again. I'm going to give him a long-term deal. I'm going to save some money. And I'm going to have a little bit of security. I want to save. I want to have security at the quarterback position. The reason is because we don't know what's coming out the college football scene in the next 5 years. But you do know what you have now, and you can win now with Kirk Cousins. Am I saying that you can win a Super Bowl with him as a quarterback? Yes, because Super Bowls are won by teams, not by quarterbacks. That's all.
You know what, Micah? I'm agree with you on that one. I think the Washington Redskins are spending too much money the way they're doing it. End the franchise tag, and I'm with Wally, where if they want to keep franchise tagging them, oh, well, keep getting that money. You know what I'm saying? So that's on them. So this is where I will go with this right now as we get out of the Cowboys and we leave the Redskins behind us. I thought it was really funny that on Thanksgiving Day, we were playing Cowboys and Indians. Okay? Write it down. Take a picture. You'll get it later. All right. Best of the NFL this week, starting with you, Wally. NFL week 12. In tonight, as my Philadelphia Eagles play on national television against the Packers of Green Bay. Come on, Wally. We ain't got one all year. Give us one.
Don't do it.
Yeah, it's not
happening.
My football love wasn't good this week. So, yeah, last week. So, yeah, it's not happening right now.
Say, Chris, you're an ass. Okay, anyway.
It's all right. It's all right.
You already know that. You already know that.
I do.
I understand that nobody knows. If anybody knows you, they know that you're an ass.
That's very true.
It's very true. Best and worst of the NFL thus far this week, starting with you, Wally.
My football weekend was really bad. I really didn't watch a lot of football. But I will say this, though. I was very impressed with my man Jameis Winston. I was. I know he only scored 14 points, but to beat Seattle, Tampa Bay, I was very impressed. Especially when a lot of people had Seattle as, like, the best team of one of the best teams of football. Then we had a lot of people. We had that debate not too long ago. Yeah, and so I'm going to give Tampa. Yeah, I agree with Jay Chris. I agree. I mean, I look at Jameis as going, taking it to the next level. We talk about quarterbacks that carry their team and lead the organization. And we've mentioned Marcus Mariota's guy, a young guy, Jameis Winston. But just to beat a team of caliber as the Seattle Seahawks, a team that was playing good football, and Jameis was one of the main cogs to beat that team. I think that says a lot about him and where he's ascending as a quarterback in the National Football League.
Micah, best and worst of the sports NFL weekend, anyway. It's
well,
NFL.
When it comes to the best and worst, man, I have a couple right here because
just the NFL, not the whole weekend.
Yeah,
just the
that's
NFL.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking. I'm talking NFL, only NFL. I have to agree with Wally on the beatdown that Tampa Bay gave the Seahawks, but not from the offensive perspective. That defensive line just hassled, harassed, and annihilated Russell Wilson every chance they got on defense. I give them kudos for stepping up. I didn't know Mike Smith knew how to coach defense before what he did in Atlanta. That's pretty impressed here of what he was able to do with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. But you know what? Not the best of the weekend, even though it was a loss. I have to give the brother credit. I may not agree with his political views and his rhetoric, but some may say quietly because, you know, the media doesn't want to cover him anymore because they ain't important now. But Colin Kaepernick hasn't been, you know, those times where he was just like, he'll just sit and just throw the ball and you don't know why he's throwing the ball. Well, he's been having some good games. Now, there's been losses. His team's trash. But he himself has been showing progression in his ability as a quarterback. So I give him credit for coming back in a better form than what he has been. It's just a shame that it's on a team that's trash right now. So if they put some pieces around him, then I think he'll be able to. They'll be able to make some noise next year with him at the helm. So that'll be my best. My worst is when it comes to the NFL. Seriously, Broncos? What did the Broncos do now? Here's what they did, right? Everyone and their mama's talking about the fact that they kicked the field goal, right? I thought the field goal kick was a good call because the dude, he was kicking the ball. It obviously had the distance. He just hooked it, right? That wasn't my problem. The problem is not the field goal. The problem is just not running the ball to set your kicker up a little bit better. That's all I'm asking. Hey, you can kick the field goal? Great. Y'all been doing good? Been playing good defense? Let's get closer. Stop passing the ball and letting time stop. You're helping the other team. You're tied. You're trying to win the game or at least tie them. Don't let them win.
But it's okay. You know, everyone has their moments. Gary Kubiak has had it more than once.
Now, let me just say this much, though, about one Colin Kaepernick. Here's the thing about Colin. I've always been a fan of Colin Kaepernick, and I think he's just all about having a better offense around him. Jay Chris, best and worst of the NFL week for you?
Well, my best of the NFL weekend was actually came off of the field. It wasn't something that happened on the field. It was actually I don't know if it's a rumor or if it's true, the reports of the NFL possibly thinking about doing away with the Thursday night games, the weekly Thursday night game. We've said it on air. We said it amongst ourselves. We said it to other people. Other people said it to other people. These Thursday night games are worse. They're terrible. They're hard to watch. They're just, you know, they're like a skeleton of football. And you got these guys playing a football game 4 days after they just played one. Come on, man.
I like the color rush uniforms, though.
The color rush uniforms are cool. Except for when you have, like, the Rams playing and they're playing in, like, those mustard yellow concoctions, which is, you know, just hard to watch that, too, against, like, Tampa Bay, who got these bright reds. So you got ketchup and mustard playing against each other. It's kind of crazy. But my worst of the weekend will probably come Thursday. Two out of the three Thanksgiving games were just boring to me. They were just very boring and just hard to watch to the point where I just barely watched them. The Skins and Cowboys game was a good game, but outside of that, there's the Thanksgiving games just left much to be desired for me.
Well, my best of the weekend for NFL goes to the receiver out of the Philadelphia area, former Ohio State Buckeyes quarterback and Terrell Pryor, taking the high road against the cornerback from the New York Giants, who trashed him on Twitter talking about how he wasn't good and he wasn't this and so forth. And Jenkins. And I just take so much respect for Terrell Pryor, who has been ripped by the media so many ways ever since he was in college for things that he's done that he's young to do. And he hasn't done nowhere near the things that, say, you know, a Johnny Manziel or other guys of that high-powered popularity coming out of college would take. I thought he took a very good high road on that. Also, my worst of the weekend, simply also staying with the NFL and that branch, would have to go to the Carolina Panthers and one Cameron Newton, who it's funny, it was all good just a week ago, right, when we were calling them, well, not you guys necessarily, but a group of people were calling them the Black Panthers almost last year, and what they thought he was representing of being an African-American quarterback. And very odd, since he made that stupid-ass reference to the eighth and inch of my skin, how poorly he has played since he made that statement and won Cameron Newton, and how fast now. That team is now 4-7. If you look at Cameron Newton's career, he has a losing record. We had this argument. I've had this argument in other groups as well, as we had here. We didn't agree here, but this is my best and worst. Cam Newton is borderline overrated. He is too talented of an athlete to not lead his team to victories. That's where I stand with that. 347-637-3859. It's number to call in. What did Vaughn just say, Micah?
He said that Cam Newton went from Black Lives Matter to All Lives Matter, and then he said all losses matter.
All losses matter. He's stupid. Now, staying here for 1 second, Thanksgiving was on Thursday, and I got to ask you a question. I've been in debate after debate after debate, guys. Sweet potato or pumpkin pie? Jay Chris, I cannot – listen, let me rephrase. Let me take that back a little bit. Is pumpkin pie okay? Yes. But am I wrong? Because I grew up in a black household with a black grandmom from a black place called Pascagoula, Mississippi. It's where my grandmother's from. And moved to Chicago, like most blacks who left Mississippi and got tired of picking cotton, moved to Chicago or Detroit. I grew up with sweet potato pie. I knew nothing about pumpkin pie. I'm not lying. Until I became an adult. Just like when I go to the store to get cheese, I don't get yellow cheese anymore. I've had yellow cheese my whole life. Called it, I don't know, waiting outside the line and getting free government cheese. I don't know. If it's yellow, I don't eat it. Sweet potato pie for me, bro. What about yourself?
You know, it's funny. I think I'm more of a pumpkin pie guy. The funny thing about it is because it really depends on how it's made. I think people can really mess up a sweet potato pie, and I put the right the right amount of sweetness on it. You know what I mean? If you just make a sweet potato pie and think the sweetness of the bread is going to be all you eat, they're wrong. Okay, there's some more got to go in there. I've always liked pumpkin pie more. I like them both, but I think I've been more like I think last year I actually like tested it out on my own. I said sweet potato pie, let me try this pumpkin pie, let me try, and I like the pumpkin pie more. You know, black folks everywhere probably trying to revoke my black card. I actually played the game, revoke your black card, on Thanksgiving, and not every question that I had correct, so y'all can keep my R's. But, yeah, I think I'm more privy to pumpkin pie.
Well, I almost reversed your black card, but I got to wait to see what the rest of the crew says. Micah, pumpkin or sweet potato? You're the resident chef here.
Well, I mean, yeah, but, you know, this is such a question that's loaded because – chances are, if you're black, you grew up with one kind of pie. Chances are, if you're white, you grew up with one kind of pie. Rather, a sampling of both. Me, I am partial to sweet potato pie. And, yes, Jay Chris, there is some things you got to add a little bit to the sweet potato, but some people like to have a tendency to oversweeten the sweet potato.
Have some nutmeg.
Just saying, you got, I mean, sometimes some people don't need to add nutmeg. I'm just saying, you can be good about it. It's just a matter of how you make it. Now, I was able to do my sweet potato pies for the first time ever. You know, a couple of weeks ago, make potato pies, and I didn't want nutmeg. And everyone fell in love with my sweet potato pie.
I'm somebody. My wife, did you get a piece of Micah's sweet potato pie? I didn't get no piece of Micah's sweet potato pie.
Of course y'all didn't get a piece of my sweet potato pie. You
Micah made sweet potato pie, so everybody loved it. But I ain't had it.
You ain't ask. All you gotta do is
like
ask.
Pie.
I got ham. I got a glazed ham that I just finished.
I like
you know, if you want a piece
like
of glazed ham
pie.
With some pepper jelly, I can hook you up. Just ask. But you know, that pumpkin pie, though, here's the thing about pumpkin pie a lot of people don't understand, though. It's pumpkin pie, butternut squash, whatever that you use it. The only thing is pumpkin pie and sweet potato pie are the same pie. It's just different. It's just a different ground item. Because you make both pies the same exact way
for
the same exact
about, Willis?
I'm dead serious. I am, yo. People don't understand. If I put a pumpkin pie in front of you right now and told you it was sweet potato pie, you will probably believe me because they taste and have similar texture. And if they're made exactly the same with the same flavors with a little extra nutmeg, cinnamon, it's going to happen. But sometimes people don't really know the difference.
Pie know that it's not sweet potato.
Okay.
I bet you if Micah did what he just said, I bet you can get it wrong.
I bet you all. Listen, my family is from a. I've been raised by a bunch
challenge.
Of cooks.
What a challenge for me to cook up some pie.
And pumpkin pie. It's very distinctive taste between the two. It is a clear, distinctive taste between pumpkin and sweet potato. Wally?
No, it's not.
Now, you may know it if there is. You know what?
No.
I owe you one anyway. Wally, sweet potato or pumpkin?
I'm pumpkin everything, man. I love pumpkin pie. Pumpkin cheesecake.
I can't even hear him. This is pumpkin salad, man. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Wally. Go ahead. I bought you back.
Pumpkin everything. I appreciate you, bro. Pumpkin cheesecake, pumpkin pie, pumpkin everything. Pumpkin muffins, pumpkin cookies, everything, man. Pumpkin on everything.
I need the poll put up right now, Vaughn. Pumpkin or sweet potato pie? And yes, guys, you won your last poll against me about the Conor McGregor crap. Okay, I just think it was the people that voted.
That
everybody didn't get a chance to see it about who was the more recognizable star, Conor McGregor or John Jones. Okay, I still think all y'all are stupid. I mean that with all the love. Okay, when I say stupid, I don't mean like you know you're a stupid mf'er. You know
who was
stupid.
Who?
Conor McGregor won.
Oh,
let's not go back to things that I was wrong on. Okay,
I'm not. I don't have to go back.
You brought it up. You're the one that brought it up. So I mean,
don't even remember that poll.
No need.
Yeah, but people like
no
that too. That's tears dropping the bucket, brother, because they don't want to forget about the polls. You said something.
All right. Well, I know one thing that
you bought the
pumpkin over sweet potato. Y'all are crazy. All right, I want to bring this up right now. Tom, I'm sorry. How do you pronounce this god darn name? Tom Herman, 22-4 in two seasons at Houston, comes in and replaces Charlie Strong at University of Texas. But instead, we're going to talk about this when we had the opportunity. We have a little bit of time now to talk about this, guys. Was Charlie Strong wronged out of losing the Texas job, Micah?
Yes, he was. And here's a very, very simple reason why. Because not every college football coach is going to be Jim Harbaugh and make your program relevant in his first year coming. Not every coach is going to be Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, who are proven winners. You know, some coaches need time to develop a system and a culture of winning that fits who they are. And if you look at what he did with Louisville, when he was at Louisville, when Charlie Strong was at Louisville, it wasn't like he was there for like a year or two, right? If I remember correctly, he was there for some time. He recruited, developed a culture of winning that was unique to him, and then they started having some key wins, unique wins, and special wins, and that's what attracted him to Texas. And let's be honest, let's call it a spade a spade. You know, there's some things that's known about Texas, and this is not everybody, this is not indicative of Texas, but historically there's some things that Texas represent that when Charlie Strong got hired, some of those things seem like that's what came out. And when you're raised to think to look for those things, you know, it was pretty obvious that there was a dude who didn't like Charlie Strong, primarily because he was from Louisville. No, I'm just kidding. It was because he was a darker than average male. And if we're being honest, maybe that is what created the shorter leash, because any coach worth their salt is going to – excuse me, any program worth their salt, any AD, athletic staff and stuff worth their salt, is going to let that guy get at least 4 to 5 years in. Heck, UVA gave Mike London 5 years. He ain't doing anything. He kind of turned it around, then he didn't. So 5 years, I think, is a normal transition program, for a program who's looking for them. But at the same time, you know, we can say it's a racial thing, but look how the way they did Mack Brown. So I think there's some people, some elites that run some things in Texas that I'm surprised Tom Herbert took the job, because to me, if I was a coach of his caliber, I wouldn't take a program that showed that they can't handle one of their best people going out and handle a really good hire coming in and don't know how to transition or be upfront and honest about how they work with their people. And I think there's too many hands in the cookie jar for Texas for them to be a successful program again. I think some of those hands need to back off, let the coach do his thing, and they'll be successful once again and at the top of the mountain. They got to get out their own way. And I think that's what actually got Charlie Strong robbed, was other people who don't play football anymore, who never played football, and all they have is money bags. Well, we know it's college sports, so that's what drives a lot of the decisions, right?
Go ahead, jump in there, Justin.
Hey, I agree 100%, 150%, 200% with Micah. I really do. How many years did Charlie Strong have in there? Was it 3 years?
2 years.
Two years? Wow. I gave Texas the benefit of the doubt there. excuse me. He didn't even get a chance to have his recruits go through his program yet. You know, he was still dealing with Mac Brown's recruits. Am I right? I mean, with his guys.
He got a great quarterback in there as a freshman. We talked about that first game.
Yeah, he got a true freshman.
He got a true freshman quarterback. And he has a top team coming in. You know, but that's what every coach going out says. They got a great recruiting cop in him. But it was believed that he had a really good recruiting, you know, that next year was Texas' year, not this year anyway. So go ahead and finish on that note, Jay Chris.
No, he like I said, he didn't even have a chance for his recruits to go through the program and see what he can do with the program.
Yeah.
Why would they give college coaches
4 years?
Why? That's a sarcastic question, right?
I think you should always give a college coach in football or basketball
at least four.
At least five years
for their recruits to work.
To get in your recruits and have a full transition over to your program by that fifth year.
Right.
Because that first year, they don't even have their recruits in there. They didn't recruit anybody that first year. You know, you're still dealing with the recruits from the old regime. But that being said, you know, like Micah said, there's too many hands in the pot. Okay, the AD doesn't control the program. The coach doesn't control the program. It's boosters that control the program. Those boosters go to that AD and say, look, you still have, you know, that money, that check I've been giving you? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that check is going to stop unless you get this guy out of the coach's position. Stop today. And you know what happens? You get that head coach out of there, you get another guy in, that money keeps coming in. Because the NCAA and all college programs that make this money, their pockets have to be padded. They have to make sure these pockets are padded. If they're not padded, it's a problem. They get them out of there just to save their pockets. Because, honestly, if you don't get at least 4 or 5 years, I think it's unfair in the college position. I think even Notre Dame gave Willingham 4 years.
No, he got 3 years. He was gone. They let
3 years.
Charlie
Weiss, okay, I was trying to give him
the
benefit of the doubt too. I was trying because that's one of the reasons I don't like Notre Dame. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt in this conversation. They didn't give Willingham 4 years. They didn't give Strong 4 years. You got to have at least 4 years in any program that you're coaching in college. You need at least 4 years. If you don't give, then you really don't have a chance to make a difference. That's your Jim Harbaugh, which. He just brought life to the program that was just unreal. Over there, he just brought life. That's all I can really. That's outside of that. I think Michael said everything. Michael said everything needed to be said.
Go ahead. You like to care to iterate on that one as well? I'm sorry. I'm the pills are really kicking in.
Wally.
So I actually disagree. I disagree with everybody actually.
Mute that man.
Say,
mute him right now. No, I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Nah, I do because usually when you're in a big program like Texas, Miami, Florida State was one, Florida, you have a short lease regardless. And the thing about Charlie Strong, I know he was dealing with Mac Brown's recruit, but it's Texas. I think we forget the talent that Texas produces. And Charlie Strong, and who I do like as a coach, I liked him in Louisville. We took over for Petrino when Petrino left to go to Atlanta. I do like Charlie Strong, and I think that, you know, for what he didn't show his strength in Texas. For instance, he's a good defensive coordinator. He's a good defensive coach. That team lacked defensively, but they improved offensively. So, and the problem is that team was bad. Now, just watching, that team was bad. They lost to, like, other than beating Notre Dame, who didn't have a good season that year, and we thought that when they beat Notre Dame, it would be something special for them. They didn't. That was a down Notre Dame team. Texas was just a bad team. And if he had got over 500, if the team was over 500, I believe he would have kept his job. But you have a guy, and this always happens in college football, you have a guy who was the flavor of the month in the coach in Houston. He's the flavor of the month. A lot of teams wanted him. LSU wanted him, too. A lot of guys wanted him. They don't pass up the opportunity to get him. Like Notre Dame did the same thing with Charlie Weiss. They wanted Charlie Weiss, and Charlie Weiss was under Bill Belichick. So they were like, okay, this is a Super Bowl caliber mind in terms of offensive coordinator. So you got a guy that's top on the market, and you're Texas, you're not going to play with it. You're going to go after him. South Carolina did that with Steve Spurrier. You're going to go after the flavor of the month. And unfortunately, Charlie Strong was losing in Texas, a team that breeds football. Texas is football. The Longhorns is as big as anything in college football. So they were like, okay, you're not winning games. You're not showing improvement in terms of a record. And they fired him. Again, Charlie Strong will be all right. He'll land in another job. He'll do well. But Texas is a different beast. It's like going to the U. It's a different beast. You got to win.
What other star? University of Texas has a
star.
No, talent.
Cole McCoy, Vince Young. We're talking about college stars. I'm not talking about NFL stars. Cole McCoy,
okay,
Vince
okay,
Young,
okay.
Ricky Williams.
Right, I mean,
you know what I mean?
I love when it comes to football, it's the breeding ground for football players.
It's breeding.
In Texas, I give you that. But and I agree, and I see a lot of your points you made, and I agree with the points you make. You go with the hot guy. That was part of me being a Notre Dame fan is why I was easily out of my feelings about Ty Willingham for Charlie Weiss was because I knew what Charlie Weiss supposedly did in New England. You know what I mean? And so I get that understanding. The reason why I have a problem with this one necessarily is that you're taking an NFL guy to replace a college guy, offensive coordinator or not, over one college coach who was great 2 years ago versus another college coach who's good 2 years later. That's where I have my differences at. And I said this in the beginning that I never thought he ever stood a chance there in the first place, and it completely shocked me the same way it shocked me when Ty Willingham became the black coach at Notre Dame that Texas had a black coach. I always knew that the rope was loose there. Whoops, excuse me, bad interpretation there in Texas and rope. But that was my take.
But if Herman, this is my thing, if Herman struggles, he'll get fired. Like, he'll get fired. Texas
are you,
don't
sure?
have time.
Matt Brown got him a championship.
If he and he's because he started struggling. If
but
if
he got
dude
canned
struggles,
after how long?
He will get banned. No, he will be.
He was there for a long period of time, so maybe they felt like that his time there was over. That's a different situation.
But they were about
Tom Herman comes in and does less than what Charlie Strong has done.
He's getting fired.
He's going to get fired. He's not going to get a at least 3 years.
He's getting fired.
He's going to get fired. Okay. So
Texas fired because Texas ain't about It's like going. Texas ain't about losing. Like they're losing. Texas, Kansas State, man. Texas lost to Kansas State.
They're already projected next year to win the Big 12 East with the recruits he has coming in. Yeah, they're already to win that next year.
I mean, I feel bad for him because obviously those are his recruits. But at the end of the day, this team was under 500. Like Texas,
here's my only thing with the whole situation, Wally, and I'll be real with you.
Mm-hmm.
If Herman had did this at any other school than Houston, I would be like, okay.
Yeah.
It's freaking Houston. The University of Houston. Let's be real. Outside of the city of Houston, no one knows anything about that college franchise other than Ware that went there. Andre Ware.
Yeah.
Okay, I look at it like we're giving this guy who took Houston, of all places, to a great record, right, to all of a sudden to go to Texas and take over a job. That's what I don't get.
He's in the program. So he's been in the program. He's one of the best young minds in college football in terms of coaching. That's something that's been following him for a while now. And you know, last year he had a good season too. He backed it up with a couple of impressive wins. And he's in Houston. And he's stealing recruits from Texas. That's one thing. He's been stealing recruits from Texas. So it's a little bit of everything. It's not just him he's winning in Houston. He actually got some good recruits out of that Texas was supposed to get. So now you get that Texas market back because you're getting this guy going to Texas. It's a good idea for Houston. I understand what Texas did. Like, I totally understand it. Like, now we're getting our homegrown guys. Yeah, we're getting our homegrown guys back. You got a young coach. He seems like he can recruit a little bit better than Charlie Strong at the moment.
I don't think Strong ever had a chance. I just don't think Strong ever had a legitimate career shot. If Charlie did as well,
and this is just my opinion, I could be wrong, and it's Texas. I'm not going against the whole breed of Texas. But if Charlie Strong did as well, let's say some of the coaches that Jay Chris mentioned, they brought, like Urban Meyer, whatever, and struggled this year, he would still be coach of Texas. You couldn't tell me he wouldn't. I think Charlie Strong holds more clout than what people think. I mean, Charlie Strong is
If he did well, of course he'd still be the coach there.
That's without question.
I don't think he got fired because of who he was. But I think he got fired because he didn't do well, and they just wanted to make that move as part of who
Willingham
he was.
Todd Willingham was doing well at Notre Dame and lost his job.
They were over 500. That was a good team. I agree with that. This situation, Charlie Strong wasn't winning games, unfortunately. So it's hard for me to say you're not winning games. I understand how a school of Texas clout could be like, you know what, we got to go a different direction, man. We try to win. And we got to make your boosters happy in that regard. I understand.
Let me chime in on this. Mike said that Texas has one of their favorite to win the Big 12 next year already?
Yeah.
With the recruits?
With what they got coming in, how come he couldn't see that out? How come they wouldn't let him see that out? That's where I have a bit of a problem. If you're favorite to win something, okay, even though that's all talk and you know it's all, you know, if we're a fifth,
right.
But if you're favorite to win something, and why would you get rid of a guy when his team next year is the favorite to do something. If they thought they were going to win the national, would they still fire him if it was a national championship? If they said, look, they're probably going to be the strongest team in the country right now, they'll probably face Alabama in the national, would they fire him then? I mean, that's the part that bothers me.
And that's where I'm also with that as well. Like, he's out one day after him being out, using the new coaches, whatever, and the recruits currently has there now, their favorite. Now, I will say this much to go against that, Jay Christian, because we got to keep things in fairness and perspective. The Big 12 East is a really bad conference. So it's like playing in the AFC South. You know what I'm saying? And you're the in and out.
Exactly.
Don't take much
that.
To beat somebody.
Exactly.
Sorry, Micah.
No. They're trash. AFC South trash. you might as well say, hey, if you want to play Madden or rookie level, this is the place where you need to go. Because you can throw the ball everywhere and no one's going to be able to stop you. I'm surprised more games, like that Syracuse game, you know, the 76-64 game, you know, 76-64 game. Surprised more games like that don't happen. 76-61, excuse me. I'm surprised more games like that in the Big 12 don't happen because no one plays defense out there. So you're right. Trash.
Either way, they're going to be playing for that Big 12 title, though.
Supposedly, right.
That's what they think. Supposedly. And we know even if they're the best in the Big 12 East or whatever the case may be, they could essentially win the Big 12, and they could be right there in that college football playoff. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, we'll see next year what Herman has. You know what I mean? But I do know that what I saw in that opening game, and I know that Notre Dame is not who we all thought they were, and only I let them off the hook. They looked pretty damn strong against Notre Dame, and I thought it would be think they wouldn't be good. You know what I mean? So somewhere, maybe it's something we're missing. We're not there. We don't know. Maybe he lost the locker room. Maybe he's a different kind of coach than they thought he was. We don't know. Okay. But I'm with you with the boosters. I'm 100% with the boosters. And, again, and this is just me being me. I don't think he ever had a chance being a black coach at the University of Texas. I never – when he got the job, I said, that's not going to last. I just
agree.
In certain places, we can sit here and people get tired of talking this way, and I frankly don't give a damn, right? The reason why we will continue to bring up racism in America is because there is still racism in America, and it's evident, okay? That coach had no chance to coach successfully or given the tools to coach successfully, in my opinion, at the University of Texas. It was a dead-end job. He was a lame duck coach, as they call it.
I was just about to say lame duck coach.
From the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Where does Charlie Strong now possibly end up? Because it's not like that he's not a good coach. He has a proven track record when given actual.
He's
a lot of jobs.
Say what?
A lot of jobs. But to be fair, Louisville to me. And I know what he did at Louisville, but that's not like doing it at a really football school, in my opinion.
But see, and this is the thing about Louisville. The Louisville thing, and it's not a knock. I'm not knocking Charlie Strong. Bobby Petrino is the dude who brought Louisville to, like, fruition, and then Strong took over Louisville after Bobby Petrino left. He didn't build Louisville. He is a good coach, though. Again, he is a good coach, but he didn't build Louisville. It's not like we're talking about other venues, coaching other venues, build a program.
Let's say, just to throw a college out there, this job is not open, right? Let's say he goes to Miami. And he's successful like he was in Louisville.
That's vicious.
The University of Miami. It's known for football. It's what it has to be. But he coached Louisville. He coached Louisville to a successful record. And that's like, to me, at the end of the year, which is here now, college football, you look at all these teams that no one heard about, right? How many years did we see Boise State, right?
Yeah.
They won a couple of games. They shocked some people. But in Canada, big games. They lost.
Yeah.
Oregon. They lost. Because their schools are not football schools. It's like you're not – when it boils down to it, you're not going to beat the Alabamas, the LSUs, the Florida State, the when they're ready, the Texas, the Ohio States, the Michigan of the world, the USCs, those schools are who they are. You know what I mean? They're football-powered schools, and I want to see him go to one of those big, what do they call them, the big power conferences, right?
Yeah.
Go to one of these big power conferences. And be a good coach there. Okay, still think he was always a lame dunk coach in Texas, but I can see him do it somewhere else as well. But before we got to him, before we got to college football, I want to say there, was the Ohio State-Michigan game the best college football game of the weekend? And I got to hold over to Wally, because my Notre Dame sucks. The only pleasure I get is watching – well, I didn't get no pleasure out of this game because I hate both of you son of a bees, and y'all lost. Okay, and if I had to choose between Ohio State and Michigan, damn it, I'd have picked Michigan. I just would have. I cannot stand the Ohio State Buckeyes, and y'all choked it away. But what is the best college football game of the weekend, Wally?
Of the weekend? I guess it would be best game of the weekend. Not from my vantage point. I just didn't like it at all.
Do you agree with your coach that y'all guys were screwed by the refs?
I do think there were some elements, but I'm not gonna go into that. I don't think we're screwed by the refs. Like, that was the overall factor. I didn't like the officiating. I didn't. But it's not. I'm not gonna lean on that. I'm gonna lean on Spates being bad and the Reds being bad, making bad decisions to call the defense. Although defense played well. Anytime you give up a pick six, and anytime you give up points offensively for the opposition, it's an issue. And I think that's the reason why they lost. It wasn't the refs. In my opinion, I think it played a factor, but it wasn't the real reason. I think Spates' poor play, getting that pick six and then turning the ball over again and getting Ohio State in territory to score points, I think that's the downfall of Michigan. I think when that kid, when his season is over and he looks at what happened, he has looked at himself in the mirror and said, you know what, I cost my team a chance to make the playoffs.
Your take, Justin?
I enjoyed watching that game. I think I caught the second half of the game. Being that, of course, you know, I worked on the week, I was sleeping and all that. But I was rooting for Michigan because I don't like Ohio State at all. I think a lot of the Penn State fans in the area are rooting for Ohio State, I believe, but I just don't. You know what I'm saying? It's just I don't root for Ohio State, I don't think. It depends. I'm not a big Ohio State fan. Anyway. I think it was the best. I saw a few college games this weekend. It was the best one that I saw. The ending and the excitement in the game and the thrill, it kind of brought me back to college football, kind of what I'm growing up. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, that whole playoff situation, maybe we'll talk about that a little later. But now you got two of the best teams in the country not even playing for the conference title, and it's just weird. But, yes, to answer your question, to me, yes, that was the best college game.
Micah?
You know, I watched pretty much every inch of that game, and I have to go with Wally on that one, that while there were some questionable calls on referees made questionable calls in a lot of Dagon football games, but, you know, you can't beat down Ohio State in almost every aspect of the game and then give up three turnovers and don't expect them to have the talent and the coaching to be able to create something off those turnovers. So that was really what cost him. That was definitely the best game. But I would have to say the best call goes to the Kentucky-Louisville game because, you know, Louisville was supposed to win that game because, you know, Louisville may not be a football school necessarily, but, I mean, it's more of a football school than Kentucky is, and the University of Kentucky beat them on the last second field goal, and you should have last second, excuse me, because it was still like 12 seconds left. But the call, and I'm sorry I don't have it, but the call on that field goal that was made is probably going to go down as one of the best calls of the college football season. That dude was more excited as if they actually won the national, as if they beat a national championship team when Kentucky beat Louisville. So best game, but goes to Michigan, Ohio State, but that best call has to go to the Kentucky Louisville game on from the call where Kentucky went on that game with a field goal.
347-637-3859. Hey, we're going to take our final break of the day. Are we going to come back? See what's going on around the world of sports, best and worst of the weekend. Some advertising before we go while Michael gets the song ready. Wally, you got a big party coming up, man. What's going on?
Oh, yeah, we're having a Christmas party for this day that's over. December 17th up in Hyattsville, Maryland. I'll have more information on it, but yeah, it's our annual Christmas party. So thanks for the shout out, man. Appreciate that, bro.
You know, that's what friends are for, through good times and bad times. I'm out of here. We'll be right back, y'all. Take a break. Jay, Chris, not you. Micah, take us away. Oh, this is medicine, y'all. I'm all messed up.
Have you heard about this new impeccable Hermes guy?
Yeah, he be having some dope beats, but I don't understand what he be talking about sometimes.
You know, I heard he thinks he's smarter than everyone else.
Yeah, I heard he thinks he's Jesus reincarnated.
I don't know why, when I heard he's a drug dealer.
Yeah, and he talks way too highly of himself.
He claims he's for the people.
Yeah, he's another one we gotta dumb down.
Niggas heard in the RG. I'm a f***ing nerd. Middle fingers is the only way I'm flipping birds. The rack stacks like balls in a billet. That's all wheel drive in a blizzard. I'm red like Clifford, throwing up signs like a wizard. Now digest that like a gizzard. Then put it on track so the skin peels back like a lizard. Off with the facades like a visit. Then sell them back track cause I'm hopping off that like a izzard. I'm a stick of dynamite for a fisher. Get the bigger picture, beg the Lord for a scripture. Then put me in a booth like a kisser. Then I deliver, then it's back to the cut like scissors for shizzer. Popping like blisters, tell you little sisters. I'm back in the basement like Tigger.
You're using too many smart words now. I'm gonna need you to dumb that down.
I don't get your metaphors, but I like your sound. Do me a favor, dumb that down.
You're talking like you're the greatest person around. Do me a favor, dumb that down.
Talking all slick, and you ain't profound. I'm gonna have to ask you to dumb that down.
I know that I'm heaven sent.
Dumb that down.
Coasting on Zen intelligence.
Dumb that down.
I'm the best in any town, best producer around.
You don't wanna start a problem, do you?
Dumb that down.
That's driven off the courage of a black sun sound. The impeccable Hermes now. That's Mr. Trismegistus to you.
You're gonna have to dumb that down.
Why the hell are you always telling me to
dumb that down?
Knowing damn well I like to read down upon the masses then walk on water.
Dumb that down.
Are you getting in my way now?
Dumb that down.
Come on.
Dumb that down.
Can I even get a word in?
Dumb that down.
I'm supercalifragilistic.
Dumb that down.
You're using too many smart words now. I'm gonna need you to dumb that down.
I don't get your metaphors, but I like your sound. Do me a favor. Dumb that down.
You're talking like you're the greatest person around. Do me a favor. Dumb that down.
Talking all slick, but you ain't profound. I'm gonna have to ask you to dumb that down.
Yeah, I'm too event guard. Esoteric, I am a vanguard. Suffice, so I'm gonna play my cards. Breaking down the door with my batard. Yeah, and that's fair to compli. I'm a hedonist, stay away from kitsch. I don't know how to miss, so respect my art. I'm in my equanimity.
Fact.
You know nobody cozier than me.
Fact.
That's my idiosyncrasy. Marked by the sound, upside down E. And since M, then the T came with this part. And a lot of you say I'm good, nod. Unguard, let the game start. I'm using smart words,
dumb that down.
You're using too many smart words now. I'm gonna need you to dumb that down.
I don't get your metaphors, but I like your sound.
You're talking like you're the greatest person around. Do me a favor, dumb that down.
Talking all slick, and you ain't profound. I'm gonna have to ask you to dumb that down.
Is coming up momentarily, but Monday Night Raw is tonight. The question is, with Monday Night Raw, the Packers of Green Bay versus my Philadelphia Eagles, and the crossover event that all comic book television fans have been waiting on, where Supergirl meets Arrow, meets The Flash, meets Legends of Tomorrow, starts tonight. A four-night epic event! Michael, why should I watch Raw over any of those other two things? Because Raw really might be DVR tonight.
Well, to be quite honest with you, Mike, the only thing that's worth watching on Raw will be Charlotte beating Sasha Banks again for the World Championship in Charlotte. because honestly, outside of the Legend of Tomorrow crew, everybody else, I will be actually excited to see in the crossover special. Yeah, I'm just saying. That crossover special sounds really good. Except for those Legend of Tomorrow people, like, okay, you're there. But it's really about these other three. the three people who established themselves as awesome long before you just got here. So I'm that's just my opinion as a non-TV watcher.
I mean, they are in Charlotte, though. I mean, Charlotte's fighting in Charlotte. Doesn't that, you know, kind of do something?
Yeah, it's going to do something, but you might as well DVR the rest of the show because that's the only thing that matters on tonight's show, to be quite honest with you. I mean, maybe some stuff. We already know that Jericho's going to be on his thing. KO's going to be on their thing with several others, so that's going to be gold. But outside of that, they have Enzo Amore feuding with Rusev. Like, that matters because, like, just because Enzo was naked last week, whatever. Two things I'm only concerned about when it comes to Monday Night Raw tonight. Charlotte and Sasha Banks and whatever's going on with the storyline between Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens, and Seth Rollins. That's really it. I'm going to be watching probably – I want to DVR the rest of Raw because I'm probably going to be watching more Eagles and Eagles in Green Bay and watch your Eagles dust them tonight.
All right. With that being said, the Philadelphia Eagles are favored in this game by 4 points. Jay Chris, you've gone back and forth. You have not been a fan. You picked with the best thing you should pick with, and that's the money in your pocket. Who wins this game tonight, Monday Night Football? Eagles,
man,
Packers of Green Bay.
That four point. Vegas has lost all faith in Green Bay. There's so many ways I'm trying to think about how the Eagles win this game. I know Green Bay's defense is not that great. The offense can put up points, though. The Eagles' defense is decent. The offense can put up points sometimes. This is really tough, man. This is a tough one. You know what's funny, though? Being a Monday night game, I'm really expecting a stinker. I don't know why. I hope I'm wrong because I called off work and I'm watching the game. I hope maybe I'll get a cheesesteak and a beer or maybe cold soda. And who am I picking in this game? I'm going with the Eagles at home. They haven't lost a game at home yet, and I'm going with the Eagles to win this game at home and cover the four. Yeah, I think that's –
Wally?
Yeah. Final answer.
Eagles undefeated at home. I'm going to Eagles at home. Hey, where are you going to cheesesteak at, Jay Chris?
I actually live around the corner from Jim's now. So,
are you for real?
Chippies on 62nd Street.
No, it's your Bibbles.
No, it's your Bibbles.
It's your Bibbles. Changed ownership, and they're not the same anymore.
Is it for real? There's two of them now.
My place is the place right there, Jay Chris, where I didn't get mine from, where Howie didn't take me.
Frank.
I think Frank still has good cheesesteaks.
They have pretty good cheesesteaks.
What about Max's? Called Max's? Everybody called Max's, right?
Yeah, there's Max's. I've never had a cheesesteak from Max's.
I need to travel up there and hang out with that area right there because when last time I visited, I had a cheesesteak from some kind of corner store place, whatever, and it was not good. It was not good at all. It wasn't vintage cheesesteak from the land of Philadelphia. I did have a hoagie, though. Oh, my gosh. I have been missing out on the hoagies and cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. And we got to get together this summer and make that happen, Captain.
See, he's hungry. You know what? It is weird. I love Winsylvania because he has the link, which was deemed the stink, having a winning record. I think it's the first year that at the stink they've had a winning record. Every year since the stink has been open, the Eagles have had a losing record. And that's the only – excuse me. but also, they're back in black tonight. And so, can't wait to see this game tonight. I'm also picking the Philadelphia Eagles to win this game. Micah, your take.
Oh, yeah, I'm picking the Philadelphia Eagles to win this game. Green Bay is a show of who they are. The Eagles are fantastic at home. And once again, my only concern, though, is that they've been proving it every single week, and they have yet to disappoint me. Your Eagles have a tendency to play up or to play down to their competition. And I hope that even though the competition that they have is down, that they play
I want to cut you right there because the only people that think the Packers of Green Bay is down are people. The Packers of Green Bay still have Aaron Rodgers.
and they don't think for a second, because I don't think any NFL team goes through this game thinking, oh, the Green Bay Packers or the Cleveland Browns. They still got Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, no, not at all. And they weren't saying that the Cleveland Browns, they can still beat you.
Still got
as far as your worries
on that defense.
You're not playing. I'm going to cut your throat, Aaron Rodgers, right now. I got my balls cut off by Olivia Munn, Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a little different. But I'm just saying. That's just my opinion.
It's Olivia Munn.
I understand. Look. You get a sword fight. You sword fight with a hot chick, and she's beating you. You don't care. But she's hot. She's yours. It's okay. It's all good. I'm just going to relax like he did.
Well, I'm definitely taking the Eagles in this game. I'm definitely watching the crossover event tonight. I cannot wait for that. I'm with you a little bit, Micah. I have my hot and cold when it comes to the Legends of Tomorrow. I think they're a good show.
Blind tag here. Can I use my blind tag?
Yeah. You already used
Olivia Munn would not be part of the Thick as Hell Challenge. I just want to put that out there.
No. She would not be part of the Thick as Hell Challenge. By the way, Saturday, that kept me very highly entertained, by the way. I cannot believe it was the number one trend on Twitter. I mean, the stuff that people come up with is absolutely retarded. Okay, the Thick as Hell Challenge. I was waiting to hope my daughter to do something so stupid. And I showed went to her Twitter feed to make sure she wasn't a part of that stupid challenge. Thank you,
Gene. Good job, Pops. Good job.
I won something, right? But Cynthia had to be part of the Thick as Hell Challenge. She's pretty as hell. So, to me, that wins out over thickness any day. But that's just me. That's kind of book lies that I like to that I stay in. But as I was saying about Legend Tomorrow, I don't like superhero shows that travel in time. And so that's, I think, what does it for me, Micah. If they were just skating somewhere and fought who they were, then maybe I can get with them. But the fact they go back in time, it's like I'm watching Quantum Leap with superheroes. Stop working. For me, personally. But best and worst of the holiday weekend. Start with you, Wally. We get up out of here early, man, so I can breathe.
Best. It's all bad. I can't, like, the best, I guess, is you need Thanksgiving dinner. And the worst is, like, the missing Wolverines and Redskins losing. They ruined my football holiday. So, yeah.
They
it's all bad.
They
I don't even want to get this
holiday.
It's bad. There ain't no best to it.
I'm sorry about that, Wally. Outside the Redskins, I'm with you on that one. But I can't even lie. I was even mad Michigan lost. I can't even lie. I looked at both those teams, and I said, I hate both of you, some bitches. But who do I hate more? And I saw Urban Meyer. And I hate Urban Meyer. I
hate him with passion.
And Jim Harbaugh was my former quarterback for the Bears, so can't hate him too much. Micah, best or worst of the weekend?
Best of the weekend most definitely goes out to Virginia Tech, my Hokies, keeping the streak over UVA when it comes to football. When it comes to football, alive as well. Good job, Justin Fuente, having a fantastic year. And could play spoiler and upset to Clemson this Saturday. Let's go, Hokies. Worst of the weekend. Seattle Seahawks offensive line. Come on, guys. You got Tom Cable as your offensive line coach. Do better.
No, you do better. Jay Chris, best or worst of the weekend?
Well, like I said earlier, the best of the weekend was the Thick as Hell Challenge. I enjoyed it. Thank you, ladies. The worst of the weekend, I think actually came on like Wednesday something, or it might have came last week. I don't know. But it came from a Tar Heels football team losing to North Carolina State and blowing their shot of playing in the ACC Championship. You big dummies. How did you let that happen? And they battled back. They were down 21-7. They battled back. I think ended up losing 28-21, something like that. So, it's my worst. Go Hill.
My best of the weekend would have to be just Thanksgiving Day, spending with my wife. My wife put her life into that meal. People say you put your foot in that. No, my wife put her life on that meal. That meal was so damn good. So my worst of the weekend would have to be, honestly, with the Redskins losing. I never, ever cheered for a team other than the Eagles or the Bears like I did on Thursday for the Redskins to beat the Cowboys. And watching that, I stand by my philosophy. They are the best team in
other doubts. Oh, but that being said, listen, I need to get up out of here. I can't take this no more. Do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me to me, and you don't love God. That's crazy, guys. We are out of here. No outro music, no nothing. We out of here. Do not wake up tomorrow morning, and don't brush your teeth also, because that's just nasty and foul. All right, people? We see y'all on Wednesday. Peace. I'll give you some music anyway.
This is the Soulin' Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soulin' Sports, we keep it hot, man.
If you're not down with that, we got two words for you!
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you love a sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a different seat.
A Napa guy knows the good thing about an old truck is you can treat it like an old truck, meaning however you want. Because the paint job looks best covered in mud. Dents build character, and unpaved roads are unscientifically proven to be 70% more fun. And with over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep that thing running longer, stronger. Because it's not old, it's broken in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.